Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Thursday, the 11th of August. And first up, Twitter panics and rolls out insane censorship. Shadow bans over election gets crushed by users.
Well, 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 let the misinformation checking begin. Twitter has announced today that they plan to lock down individuals' opinions. We all know this doesn't apply to the mainstream media or the quote-unquote trusted partners around the upcoming election. Now, they're talking about the midterms, but this is really just a practice run for the general election in 2024. If you're like me, you've been following this and you've been very, very concerned about the level of power that social media exerts over opinion. As I believe, if you believe like I believe, Twitter is the public square. Facebook is the public square. YouTube is the public square. And when they start suppressing opinions and calling things misinformation, when, you know, it's questionable. You know, they used to ban people for questioning the efficacy of certain things during the original lockdowns. Later, it was found out that they were right, but they weren't unbanned. Now, I see this initial tweet this morning from Twitter Safety. Starting today, we will be enforcing the civic integrity policy, fancy name, in the context of the 2022 midterms. You see Tyler writing, he's a CEO of Blaze, because we all know Twitter and its quote, trusted partners are immune to misinformation, disinformation that confirms their prior beliefs or values. Thank goodness for these impartial, qualified arbiters of truth's accuracy. And the tweet is getting completely ratioed. That's actually the really shocking part for me. Like the fact that they're getting destroyed, like nobody's supporting this, because there's like innumerable examples of elected officials and trusted sources questioning the integrity of certain things that weren't banned. You see, starting today, we're going to begin enforcing the civic integrity policy in the context of the 2022 midterms. This means we'll take action against misleading claims about the voting process, misleading content intended to intimidate or dissuade people from participating in the election, or misleading claims that may undermine the public confidence in their outcome. Learn more here. You can see, I'm betting this isn't going to be equally applied. You could see a Democrat here saying, reminder, Brian Kemp stole this from Georgians. Just say it, you'll be ramping up the censorship in service of power. What Twitter really means is they're going to censor Christians, conservatives, and Republicans in the United States because we don't hold to Twitter's beliefs ideology. By the way, Twitter's corporate offices are in America and censorship is a violation of the U.S. Constitution. I thought the only censorship by government was you could see this. So statements like these are good. I mean, they have, you know, people are throwing Joe Biden in their face. And you see just so many saving democracy by silencing voters, bold move. And the quote tweets are just even more hilarious, just getting absolutely demolished. There's only 300 likes on this, 300. So who's asking for this exactly? It's like, who asked YouTube to remove the dislike button? We know who asked. At the time, the White House was getting crushed by dislikes. We know that their corporate sponsors, corporations, Disney and stuff, were getting absolutely downvoted into oblivion. You could see a lot of people, here's Wesley Hunt, you mean like this, showing Nancy Pelosi talking about the election. You see all these people here. Starting today, we will cut the tongue out of any of those who doesn't parrot the establishment narrative. The government need not censor. Big tech will gladly do their bidding for them, which is 100% true. They do this, I think, for a couple of reasons, and I don't think, in my opinion anyway, any of them are altruistic. I think that they know that the government at any time can just trump up some charges and charge them billions of dollars that they'll have to pay. They do it whenever the government needs money for whatever mysterious, you know, I don't know where that money goes that the FTC is always fining them, but, you know, there's that. They also know that many of these companies should probably be broken up, Google in particular. And as long as, you know, they do the bidding, well, that matters. You see Time Magazine, the secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. What could go wrong? New excuse to erase conservative users just dropped. 2020 2.0 is now in effect. I mean, no offense, but this sounds like a lot of commie gobbledygook. Anna Baldwin, too late now for Elon Musk. Yeah, I mean, Elon's probably not going to get his purchase done in time at all. I mean, there are active tweets. Here's Nancy Pelosi, an active tweet talking about, you know, misinformation. It's very concerning. Twitter activates steps to, quote, protect midterms, fighting misleading narratives. I mean, I don't know. We all know how this is going to be enforced. We know misleading is oftentimes the effective definition of that is opinions we disagree with or opinions that make us look bad. Twitter announced Thursday that it would implement several measures to protect civic conversation in the run-up to the midterm election, saying that users deserve to trust the election conversations and content they encounter. In the announcement title, blah, 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 the company, we already read that. The site is also bringing back pre-bunks. Pre-bunks? Sorry, I'm working on my mix a little bit. It sounds a little muddy. Okay. Pre-bunks. The purpose of pre-bunks is to get ahead of misleading narratives on Twitter and to proactively address topics that may be the subject of misinformation. Over the coming months, Twitter will place prompts directly on people's timelines in the United States and in search when people type related search phrases or hashtags. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, you know, I'm like expecting that Elon has said something about this, but I don't know if he has. Likewise, the social media company will, quote, be educating users on how to identify fake news. Keep an eye on Twitter safety for media literacy tips and suggestions on how to spot misinformation. During, of course, the 2020 election, Twitter notably censored an explosive New York Post story about then-Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden's son. The article focused on, of course, the computer. The head of Twitter's site integrity team told the Federal Election Commission that the company censored the story because United States intelligence officers, quote, shared rumors that contained potentially hacked information, despite no evidence emerging that the information was, in fact, hacked. Well, they did it to protect Joe Biden. I mean, there's no question about it. I don't know that it would have swayed the election, especially like last minute stuff like that. I don't think really is enough to sway people's opinions. But then Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey told the Senate Judiciary Committee during a hearing last year that the company had, quote, made a mistake by censoring the story. Oh, well, all's forgiven. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. You see, you know, Jack Posobiec tweeting a Hillary Clinton talking about it. Oh, Twitter safety better ban this dangerous stuff. I mean, it's actually insane how much control. And it's like nothing changes, right? Okay, Elon's not tweeting about anything. Okay, remember this. Remember when Trump ran on, you know, essentially, hey, I'm gonna drain the swamp, big tech censorship. This is important, you know, that I get it and get this under control, and it's bad, which we all agreed on. Now, due to, I think, in part, you know, the fact that many in his own party weren't working with him, he didn't get anything done. But I think in general, in terms of Section 230 and things of that nature, but most people agree that Section 230 needs to have another look at it. Except for, well, all the people that are on the side that it benefits, because it's obviously selectively enforced, at least in my opinion. And this is actually, you know, this is Twitter being very nervous. Twitter rolls out election misinformation enforcement ahead of midterms. You know, you can see here, they went from post hoc justifications for it to calling it in advance. I mean, absolutely insane stuff. And it's very concerning. The post-millennial writes that it's to protect us, but I don't think we can really trust them, can we? I really don't think we can. When Twitter mods encounter information that they believe comes under, quote, harmful and misleading information category, they will, quote, not recommend or amplify this content, meaning more shadow bans, more deboosting, more censorship. That's what this is all about. Elon, I mean, this is why I never left Getter. I never left Gab. I never left True Social. I still post there because this is 2024 is going to be a new level of censorship. And, you know, make sure that you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you're still subscribed because Lord knows it's going to be hard enough the way it is.
And next up today, Kevin Smith's show cancelled as the woke streaming collapse continues. Black Superman also gone.
Bad news for Kevin Smith, and also a diverse slate of cancellations, including Black Superman, have been reportedly shelved at DC, now making decisions on maybe, I know crazily, what actually sells. Shows like Static Shock, which a lot of people really liked, unfortunately. Black Superman, weird. Static Shock should still get made. There was a lot of people interested in that, but you know, I feel bad for that. Even the Green Lantern series. But Kevin Smith also, you know, it's like a woke economy collapse at DC, and they're going to focus exclusively on stuff that sells. And by the way, side note, we opened up a few spots in the Roaster's Choice program. We had a Rwandan last month. I think this month is a Rwandan. Last month is a Sumatra, which is here, the Sumatra Asman. Super, super small batch. Like 600 people in the world will get this. And you can be one of them if you get into the Roaster's Choice program. Obviously, we have everything else going on. But use promo code TheQuartering and you can get in. I know a lot of people were on the waiting list, so I'll leave the link in the description. Development has reportedly slowed on the more diverse slate of DC films and TV series, with no directors attached to any of the projects. Supergirl, Black Superman, Static Shock, Green Lantern projects all in jeopardy. You could see, like, Black Superman is a ridiculous premise. Like, having a Black Superman isn't inherently bad. Just make him a new character, and instead of being like, this is Clark Kent now, he's had exactly the same experiences as the previous version, but he's got melanin now. I thought diversity was more profitable. Guess not, because SJWs always lie. A lot of people saying it's too bad about Static Shock. He's actually an original character that people like. I 100% agree with that. Someone finally found their balls to put their foot down. You know, a lot of people, they better not cancel Static Shock. See, this kind of proves that, like, a well-written, diverse character, in this case a Black character, can still build a huge fandom. Blade, for example. You know, the guy got 3 movies and he's going on to a 4th movie. Original character. You see, no one asked for Blackface Superman. No one asked for Latina Supergirl. Static Shock, long overdue. John Stewart as Green Lantern, long overdue. Just put Stewart and Static in the revamped DC. I mean, it's just the DC universe is such a huge mess. It's like they just literally can't get anything together. They can't produce anything. Like, even with great characters like Superman, why isn't there a new Superman movie every 2 or 3 years? Why does Spider-Man outdo Superman? Superman should be a staple. Why isn't there, you know, a good Batman movie rolling out every 2 to 3 years? Why, you know, like, what's going on? Why can't we get the same actor to play Batman for a while? Although, I liked the Batman. It was kind of, people said it was kind of boring. I don't know. I liked it. I guess all I could say is I'm shocked. Oh, and Kevin Smith, also, his Strange Adventure series scrapped by Warner Brothers. Smith was eyeing Nicolas Cage for the role of Bizarro in the series, whose cancellation, of course, predated the HBO Max's axing Batgirl. Kevin Smith's Strange Adventures with HBO Max has come to an end. The filmmaker's Strange Adventures DC comic book anthology series has been axed by Warner Brothers Discovery and will not be moving forward to HBO Max, whose representatives confirmed that to IndieWire. Smith was set to co-write and direct an episode of Strange Adventures as part of the anthology series around lesser-known DC characters. Smith recently shared on his Hollywood Babylon YouTube show that HBO Max scrapped the series, executive produced by Greg Berlanti. The Clerks director explained that the writing, he was writing an episode of Strange Adventures with Supergirl collaborator Eric Carrasco. The episode was expected to air a center on Jimmy Olsen and Bizarro, with Nick Cage being eyed for the role of Bizarro. Dropping Strange Adventures kind of makes sense to me. Nobody necessarily knows these characters, and it sounded like an expensive show, Smith shared on his podcast. He added that each episode was set to cost between $16 and $20 million. That's actually shocking. How do you... $20 million for an episode? The entire budget of Joker, I think, was $50 million. And it made $1 billion at the box office. How do you spend $20 million on an episode? This is a huge snapback from, I think, this idea that the money was never going to end, that people were never going to stop, spending their money, that, you know, gas prices are still double what they were in 2020. Inflation, as much as the White House keeps saying it's not an issue, is a massive issue for most people. And streaming services just aren't like in the books. They're not something that people feel like they absolutely have to do. But, you know, what's funny is Smith describes Strange Adventures as an anthology series of cautionary tales set in a world where superpowers exist, and in what promises to be the biggest DC show ever made. He quipped, "Don't feel bad for me, I got paid," before adding about the future of the episodes, "We're talking about taking it over to DC and doing it as a comic book because we effing took the time to write the script, might as well hand it to an artist and let them draw it." Strange Adventures was one of several projects from Bertolini Productions at HBO Max, and he has an overall deal at Warner Brothers Television with other projects including Titan, Doom Patrol, and the forthcoming Dead Boy Detectives. The news comes on the heel of the scrapped Batgirl movie, while completed, will not be released by Warner Brothers Discovery on HBO Max or in theaters. The shelved $90 million DC Comics installment starred Leslie Grace, Brendan Fraser, Michael Keaton, and J.K. Simmons. Smith similarly slammed the decision to scrap Batgirl, saying on his podcast, "It's an incredibly bad look to cancel the Latina Batgirl movie." No, it's a worse look to release something that's absolutely awful. You know, DC's in a similar position with Ezra Miller. He can't go a day without getting arrested for doing something heinous, and they've got $100 million into that movie. Now, to me, is he hiding behind his pronouns? It may be easy to say that, but $100 million is a lot of money invested, and that's a character that DC wants, a character that's established. If you scrap that movie now and scrap the actor, it's really bad. Some of the stuff they're saying about it is, you know, they're saying Ezra Miller, they might completely scrap it, or he plays no part in the film's promotion and they recast the role. They don't know what to do. DC is in shambles. But, you know, Kevin Smith, again, I don't care. You know, a lot of people ask, you know, why, what's all with all the Kevin Smith hate? Well, remember that, you know, this article, after the first season bait and switch, Kevin Smith claims He-Man will appear in every episode of Master of the Universe Revolutions. This is after he called out YouTubers who reported the fact that, you know, Prince Adam wasn't going to be in half the episodes. He called them liars publicly on his Twitter channel, on his Twitter feed, but they were telling the truth. Master of the Universe was largely a Teela show, and there wasn't enough He-Man in He-Man. This is one of those, you know, subverting expectations thing, and Kevin Smith got a lot of flack for that. He never owned it. Now, quietly, behind the scenes, Netflix must want to keep the show, which is weird because they don't really seem to stick their neck out for animated series very often. But now Kevin Smith has come crawling back to say that, you know, I'm there's going to be a lot of He-Man. Here's the original tweet. Clownfish: my understanding of Kevin Smith's He-Man series from an alleged insider, Teela is a better He-Man than Adam, and he steps aside to let her and her girlfriend take over hero duties. If true, it will not play well. Kevin Smith ended up quote tweeting that and saying, as showrunner, I really could have used these story suggestions before we locked onto the scripts. However, no, He-Man does no stepping aside and Teela has no girlfriend in the show. But that's a lie. Like, the show came out and it was proven. It's pretty hilarious. And then he said, also real confidence, Steve, instead of posting your faux insider info, here's a real story. Mattel made a behind the scenes video featuring our actors recording. So a fan took some of Mark and Lena's dialogue and spliced them into old Filmation clips. I don't really know what that is. Despite Smith's condescending denial, word of Teela's promotion on the series lead Wood resurfaces 2 months later when Scream Out reported that one major difference between the original series and Revelations is that though He-Man will be certainly around, he won't be the main protagonist. Instead, it will focus on Teela. So he got caught lying. They tried to bait and switch us. A lot of people really don't like Kevin Smith for that. So I don't really care that his show was canceled. I don't really care that DC is purging a lot of their fringe content, as long as it means they can get back to focus on like the high value stuff, the stuff that people actually like.
And next up, woke backfire. Thor director Taika Waititi calls himself gay icon and immediately regrets it.
Whoa. Taika Waititi, the ultra woke director of Thor, Love and Thunder, and several other Marvel films, and has had a part in What We Do in the Shadows, and his movie Jojo Rabbit, I think was really good, has got himself into a bit of a trouble. This is after dubbing himself, according to him, the king of what is it? I want to get this right. He called himself a gay icon, only to be canceled the day of his marriage. I've often said this about a lot of very progressive people, that they wear their quote-unquote progressivism as a shield, as a tool to get away with being just awful people. And it always is very apparent when they talk about people from the other side of the political aisle. And this is not a good day for Taika Waititi. By the way, we're live streaming today, me and Sydney Watson, at 5 p.m. Central, so probably 2 hours after I release this video. I'd really love to see you there. Well, here's the story. It's right here on the main channel, so just come back then. We're talking about Twitter stuff, the IRS, and some doctors have come out against some blockers. I think they'll be interesting. Marvel director Taika Waititi has come under fire for resurfaced anti-trans tweets and for deadnaming Caitlyn Jenner. Now, deadnaming is the new world's worst thing you can do to anybody on the planet. Essentially, once a trans individual decides they want to change their name, whatever their old name is, you're not allowed to use it. Even if by mistake, it can lead to social media bans. People can do it in a accidental way, which is most of the time. People can also weaponize it, which is exactly what Taika Waititi did. I see people on the right do it too. I don't love that. It seems like kind of a low blow. It's like calling someone fat or something like that. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to feel bad for people. And Taika is incessantly woke. Talked about, Thor Love and Thunder being the gayest movie of all time. And, you know, it barely made any money. Thor of all things barely made any money. Unearthed tweets from almost a decade ago drew criticism for shaming trans women and beauty pageant contestants. A tweet from all the way back in January 16th, 2013 reads, "No disrespect to men who want to be/dress as a woman. I should have just said their makeup looks manly. Also, no disrespect to meth users." Not exactly sure what that's in reference to. The meth user remark followed an earlier rant in which he criticized beauty pageant contestants, writing, combining heels and bikini whilst plastering your face in orange so you resemble a leather pudding is totes empowering. He was called at the time when a fellow Twitter user wrote shaming, phobia, and immense misogyny all in one tweet. But dude, not cool. And Taika wrote back, "No, it's not cool." So he doubled down on it. This is what happens when you, it's like your classic live by the sword, die by the sword scenario, where like, I just don't pay any people, these kind of people, any mind. I don't pander to them in my viewership. I don't want soft people watching my videos. I don't want people who are perpetually offended as subscribers. And therefore, when I run across one on social media or whatever, they're easy to disregard. The problem is with a lot of these woke people is they pander to them exclusively. You know, the stans accounts are generally super young, super progressive, snowflake type people. These are people that are still seeing Marvel movies, so they pander to them. Kara wrote, "No, Taika, it's not cool. You need to apologize. My trans friend, who struggles with thoughts of self-deletion daily due to similar comments, hardly thinks so." Taika responds, quote, "My trans friends can walk in heels, but you're right. Actual Cathoe are better looking." Oh, Cathoe is a word used in Thailand for trans women. A tweet from April 2015 deadnamed Caitlyn Jenner days after she came out as a trans woman. Now, Caitlyn Jenner has been one of the best litmus tests for progressives that I've ever seen. The way that they'll make phobic comments, they'll deadname her, all this stuff. Why? Because Caitlyn Jenner is a conservative. So they feel like it's okay. You know, they don't have to play by their own rules. It's one of those things that, like, as I get older, I get tired of living up to principles. It's tiring. Like when these people don't live by their own standards and they make it apparent every day, but they expect me to live by it, right? You can't dead name people unless they're conservative is essentially the rule. Dead naming is when someone refers to a trans or non-binary person by a name they used to, prior to transitioning, such as a birth name. Taika wrote, "We'll all be wearing Jesus Jenner badges by the end of the day." Jesus? I was Caitlin, apparently. The post might not reflect Taika's current way of thinking. Mail Online has contacted a spokesperson for his content. Taika is now known for his LGBTQ storytelling, both in Thor: Love and Thunder and HBO Max series Our Flag Means Death, which I think got canceled. And speaking about his reasons, he told Out Magazine, "We're all queer, just to varying degrees of where we are on the spectrum, I think. I think innately humans have some degree of queerness in them. I actually don't think that. I think that innately, most humans are driven by biology. Now considered as by some as a gay icon," he said, "I love it. I mean, I'm just amazed to hear what my friends think of me. I'll be like, hey guys, you're looking at a little gay icon over here. And it feels really amazing." In Thor, Taika voices a gay character called Korg. Fans have questioned how Korg's all-male species could be gay because the storyline doesn't seem to match up with his family or background in past movies. Here's the answer. They don't care. Marvel has never cared about lore or canon if they can cram some progressive nonsense in there. Oh, by the way, I just got an email this morning. I know that there's some people on the waiting list for the Roaster's Choice program. We just opened 25 more spots. This is the ultra premium monthly coffee club. We've had like a Rwandan blend. We had a delicious Sumatra the other day. There's only like 500 or 600 available spots. Just read the reviews. I'll leave a link to the Roaster's Choice program. If you wanted to get in, today is going to be the day because it's going to close up. We're going to run out of spots. But we've got a delicious blend coming for you in August. Gay icon Thor director under fire for anti-trans tweets and going after Caitlyn Jenner when that was still bad. You know, it's interesting to me, you know, 2015, which isn't quite as long ago, he deadnamed Caitlyn Jenner. You know, I saw him trending. And look, the thing is, like, you see, Taika directed Thor: Love and Thunder, which is when Brandon, quote, "the gayest Marvel movie ever by people who care about such things. Thor was so gay that it caused people to cancel Chris Pratt again for the usual dumb reasons why they cancel Chris Pratt. The director said it feels really amazing to be a gay icon." But that was before tweets from 9 years ago resurfaced, and he made the mistake of having so many made before and cracked a joke on Twitter. Now, again, I'm not offended by it. But if you want to hold Taika Waititi to his own standard, he's just done something absolutely terrible. He's done the worst thing you could possibly do. And you can, it's funny to see, like, you know, the really progressive online news outlets really aren't saying a lot about it, because it's like they'll say, oh, well, he's overall good for us, so we won't hold him to the same standard that we hold anyone else. You see, The Independent wrote, Taika Waititi's tweets about trans people have raised difficult questions about retroactive shaming. So difficult questions about retro. Are you saying now, because it's Taika Waititi, it's one of yours, suddenly canceling people over years old tweets is something that we have to look at, and it raises difficult questions about it? It's like, no, shaming people over tweets from millions of years old was never okay, but it was okay for you to do it in the media when you were pushing a particular agenda. But when they come for one of yours, now it raises quote unquote difficult questions, and it makes it difficult for you to decide if you're going to cancel somebody or not. I'm all for holding people to their own level of standards. So hashtag cancel Taika Waititi. But it's hilarious to see the media suddenly question whether or not they should be canceling people just because it's one of their own now.
And last up today, Ezra Miller makes The Flash a $200 million woke disaster for Warner Brothers.
There is a woke disaster brewing at AT&T, and it surrounds the actor in charge of The Flash, or who plays The Flash, Ezra Miller, who seems to be on a global crime spree, completely incapable of, I don't know, not breaking the law for a few hours. Seems like every single day there's another law he broke, and now they're facing down the barrel of a $200 million disaster because they can't release this movie. The guy is a psychopath. They can't release it. But if they don't release it, they'll make the they-them community extraordinarily mad. But they've got so much money into it, it's absolutely insane. By the way, thank you everyone who supported the launch of the double caffeinated Ethiopian blend at coffeebrandcoffee.com. Had an absolutely monster day of sales yesterday. You can use promo code thequartering and still pick some up today. I can't wait until we get the reviews in here. We also opened up a few more spots in the Roaster's Choice program. We just opened it up basically for today and tomorrow. So if you've been thinking about tasting the best coffee imaginable on the planet with a different flavor every month, make sure you sign up literally right now. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. Now, Ezra Miller now ran an alleged cult from an Iceland Airbnb. It's a gun I'm tweeting. Ezra Miller is the perfect example of how much you can get away with if you have the correct political leanings. Holy moly. Imagine if I did half, just half of what Ezra's done. I'd be under a prison. Here's what Culture Crave is saying. Warner Brothers Discovery is considering three options for The Flash. One, Ezra Miller gives an interview explaining their erratic behavior and does limited press, which I don't think is going to work. Two, Ezra Miller plays no part in the film's promotion and the role gets recast, meaning they'll let Ezra's character exist. They'll keep him away from the promotion, and then future Flash will be played by someone else. It's what I think that means. Three, the film getting completely scrapped. This via The Hollywood Reporter. The film's been testing well, even though the legal woes are insane. Warner Brothers weighing the fate of The Flash as Ezra Miller problem grows. You can see this article, Ezra Miller's, where's the 200? I had something about the $200 million disaster. Here you have police unable to locate the mother and her three youths who were staying with Ezra in Vermont. This is, by the way, this is an article from yesterday. Now child services are after him. And this is all after he got charged with burglary a few days ago. I don't understand what, like, does this guy got some sort of like dirty secrets on Zaslav. I mean, Zaslav deleted CNN Plus and laughed about it. Got rid of the Latina superstar Batgirl movie. Zaslav's first movie, Crisis. What to do with Ezra Miller, the erratic star of Warner Brothers' $200 million Flash franchise launch. Even this is via Deadline. Even though it isn't on Warner Brothers' release calendar until June of next year, The Flash is becoming Warner Brothers' CEO's David Zaslav's first movie, Crisis, because of the escalating coverage of incidents of volatile and odd behavior involving the film star. Zaslav has made it clear his desire to grow the DC universe to the MCU scale, of course he does, and has all the ingredients of the first foot forward in The Flash, including the return of Michael Keaton as Batman, along with a reprise by Ben Affleck, a $200 million budget, and a hot director in Andy Muschietti, who delivered the blockbuster It for the studio. The Warner Brothers CEO exercised his well-known penchant for micromanagement by declining to greenlight the Wonder Twins for being too niche. Zaslav will have to soon make a decision on what to do with the complicated picture. Deadline has heard that the studio has tried getting help for Ezra Miller, but the troubling headlines continue to pile up. Could you send a potential liability on global publicity tour and have the actor anchor a huge studio franchise play? Zaslav has several choices, and he will make one very soon. Among them, he can pull back on heavily promoting the summer film, confining it to some P&A and no publicity tour. Or he can relegate it to streaming with HBO Max and take a write down, or lean in toward making the movie a hit, then drop Miller if they can't straighten things out. Warner Brothers did that when they dropped JD from the Grindelwald character in Fantastic Beasts franchise after the actor's well-known publicized suit, but that was a disaster. I mean, that movie absolutely tanked. Like, just absolutely brutally tanked. Zaslav has several choices. He will make them soon. There is no winning for Warner Brothers, one studio source tells us. This is an inherited problem for Zaslav. The hope is that the scandal will remain at a low level before the movie is released and hope the best to turn out. Well, I mean, are they going to be able to keep this guy out of the clink? It certainly seems like he should be locked up. Sources say if no more bad things happen, the studio won't likely keep Miller in the Flash role in future, even if no more things resurface. That would mean replacing him in the future, but there's still a $200 million investment on the line with the first film of the Warner Brothers execs have to be cringing at each new press report. There's been two more rounds of unflattering headlines in just the last 2 weeks for the 29-year-old who identifies as non-binary. The Daily Beast reported that there was a temporary order against them from someone who is 12. Last week, there was parents of someone who was 18 filed paperwork asking a judge to issue protection against them. This is actually insane. And this is like only a tiny bit. And it sucks because I know a lot of people really like The Flash. The Flash was never really like my thing. But I always try to be respectful of, like, you know, there are a lot of people who enjoyed the Flash character, who read the Flash comic books, maybe had better versions of it. What's interesting is, you know, I think if Ezra Miller were straight, this is my opinion, straight white male, he'd be fired by now. I mean, does anybody disagree with that? By the way, if you don't disagree, make sure you leave a like on the video. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe. So this says the first scenario, here's even more breakdown, okay? First, Warners have received indications that the 29-year-old whose mother has accompanied the actor in recent days will seek professional help after returning home to their farm in Vermont after being away. If that happens, Miller goes, who goes by them, could give an interview at some point explaining their erratic behavior over the past few years. The actor could do a limited press for The Flash, and the movie would open in cinemas as planned. The second scenario is even if Miller doesn't reach out for help, Warner could still release the film, but don't expect Miller to play a prominent role in the terms of marketing and publicity, nor would Miller be The Flash going forward, as the role would be recast. I think the role is going to be recast anyway. This guy's just got too much, this human just has too much dirt on him. too much stuff. You know, the third situation with Miller deteriorates further. This will see Warner's ending the movie outright, as it could not be refilmed with different actor. As far as I know, Miller has been taking part in reshoots all summer long, too. Miller plays multiple characters and is almost in every scene. Scrapping a $200 million film would be an unprecedented move. Well, they just scrapped a $100 million film. I have a feeling that, I mean, they wanted to hold on. I think, you know, based on what I've seen, they want to hold on and they want to try to make it work, but this person just can't get out of their own way. His motor rights, Ezra's actions might finally see some consequences. While The Flash is still a year from release, Warner Brothers sees a way forward for the DC film in wake of its lead actor's repeated arrest. The thing is, this isn't like a one-time thing. The dude's been getting arrested for like over a year now, consistently. There was that incident where he like pushed a fan in Iceland too. There's all sorts of stuff. And, you know, if they have some sort of, you know, mental health issue, they're not treating it, or it's not getting treated properly. And I would say that, you know, you're going to have to make a decision here. Can you have him committed and to keep him safe? Here's this. It's been one effing day since the burglary charges. Here's a new article from 5 minutes ago. Ezra's recent action now involve the Vermont Child Services. I mean, what? Nobody, this person's got nobody looking out for him, right? Nobody. It's weird. You know, Hollywood, I think Hollywood does this to people. And, you know, the fans are the ones that suffer, really, because, oh, nice. Good for you, Valkyrie. The fans lose their superheroes. They lose their entertainment. It's almost impossible now to separate Ezra Miller from The Flash, so they're going to have to end it. It's just going to have to be that way, which is unfortunate because a lot of people like the character. I hope you enjoyed this video. Hopefully, you'll pick up the Double Calf or the Roaster's Choice today, and hopefully, I'll see you in the live stream, which is probably going on right now. Talk to you again real soon.